evening. Time. We just had a time change. Nobody likes it. It's so strange. And yet they make us do this. And nobody really knows why. It was invented for the farmers. And the kids, the farm kids who had to walk to school, and they didn't want them to walk in the dark. So it's just crazy. And yet, we have to live with it. It's the time we're given. And so we do it very obediently. And now some are suggesting that we have one time for the whole world. It's not a cool idea. Oh, it'd be much easier.
No specific standard. I mean, you could call Europe a convenient time for
you. You would know when Europe was, like we do now. We know it's 9 hours now, but it could be another time. You know, it could be 4 o'clock in the morning in California. It could be noon in Arizona or Timbuktu. Anyway, it just amuses me to think that we're studying Uji and they're messing around with their own personal time. Why? Why are they doing this? Well, Dogen goes into yesterday and today and suggests that they're part of the same thing. They're not separate. So you can't say that yesterday is gone. Yesterday lives on. And tomorrow is very much alive in us already. This is a very weird thought, but when you begin to feel how it is in your life, it begins to feel true. It's the way we live. We're always in contact with the past and the future, continually. There's no end to it. We have plans for the future. We have regrets and delights of the past, and they just follow us all the way into our present moment. Do not think that time merely flies away. Do not see flying away as the only function of time. If time merely flies away, you'd be separated from time. The reason you don't clearly understand the time being is that you think of time only as passing. Oh, those days are gone now. What a shame. We haven't got there yet. Oh, do you think we'll ever get there? In essence, all things in the entire world are linked with one another as moments. Because all moments are the time being, they're your time being. It's the only time being there is. Your own time. This one right now. And then it goes into the flowing of time, the quality of flowing. So-called today flows into tomorrow. Today flows into yesterday. Yesterday flows into today. And today flows into today. Tomorrow flows into tomorrow. Because flowing is a quality of time. Moments of past and present do not overlap or line up side by side. Queen Yan is time, and this is a list of people. You could say, and he says, Huang Bo is time, Jing Qi is time, Shi Ru is time, because self and other are already time. In other words, I'm time, but you are too, and you, and you, and you, and you, and everybody else. Everybody else. Being splattered with mud and getting wet with water is also time. That means making a mess of everything. Totally misunderstanding everything. Just being a human being is also time. It's nothing fancy. It's just the way things are. So I think I'll stop there with Dogen and go on to Katagiri. He talks first about the self-array, self-arraying itself as the entire universe. So that's saying it in another way. Each thing is a moment of time. Try to realize you have already set yourself out in the vastness of Buddha's world. You're already in Buddha's world with a way-seeking mind. Meaning, if you forget yourself, time's not only time, it's also being. So we ourselves make time alive in our lives. He says, you and I and all sentient beings are eternal time. That is very still. And we are also being time that is dynamically moving from moment to moment to moment. If you see time that doesn't have the characteristics of coming and going, you are stable and quiet. This is how Zazen develops. You sit down in Zazen and our mind is buzzing and we're still in the flow of time. And then slowly, slowly it begins to settle and be quiet. And it becomes just this one moment. We can then notice the moment that we are. Even though mostly in our life we don't notice it. If you see time that doesn't have the characteristics of coming and going, you are stable and quiet. If you see time that does have the characteristics of coming and going, you exist here and now in being time. I think that means you're alive. You are full of life. When you are eternal time, you're not the ordinary you that you usually believe yourself to be. You are the big you that exists in the entire world. You have to depend on the big you. If you do that, you have spiritual security. If you ignore this, you are always depending on something else. You may live peacefully for a certain period of time, but you never know how long you can depend on other things. So practice is to manifest the object of your activity, zazen, cooking, sports, or whatever else you're doing, as a being that exists in eternal time. If you do something wholeheartedly, all sentient beings come into your life. Then if you look at a table, you see the table as a beautiful being that exists with you right now, right here. And this is called oneness. So I thought we could talk about this. It's a huge fight, you could say. And it's a lot of words. And I just wonder how you yourself are thinking about time and living time. I think it's important to be able to express that and really recognize in your own life how it's working, where your awareness is of the moments and of the connection that exists.
I was wondering about what flowing, I guess, Drew started out with that idea that it was flowing, and then Ken Geary was talking about dynamic moments as opposed to stasis type moments, which are not probably static, but less dynamic. I'm not sure what the quality of flowing is. It's like thinking it's dynamic.
It goes from moment to moment, like spring is followed by summer, is followed by fall. They're connected, but they're not each other. So you can't say that spring winter becomes spring. But time flows in from winter into spring, and from spring into summer. Our life springs from. Flows from childhood into adolescence. It feels very flowy because there's nothing in between. It just goes. It just happens, even though you don't want to be growing up. You have to grow up because it's flowing. Life is always unfolding in that way. But if we stop ourselves in the moment, as we experience things, they flow, but they also stop as we stop. So often when I talk about this and we're talking and talking and everything is going, and then I say, but it's really now. Everybody stops and goes, whoa. That's actually the only moment is this one.
I see. So you can think of it as a process that you experience it as now.
We experience it both ways.
You can't, yeah, but you can't line the moments up. So that you can, the whole,
It just goes. It just goes and goes and goes. goes in the most extraordinary, unexpected ways. So that we're always surprised by what happens. Sometimes in a good way, sometimes not so good. And people say, oh, how can this happen? Whatever it is. But it's just the way it works. It's just the way things are. And it's very beautiful, really. And it's also very difficult and painful and strange and full of mud and splashed with water. Or splashed with mud and full of water. I don't know.
So when you are sitting in Zazen, you just tune out all the processes. And
you are the moment. But you are the moment when you're washing the dishes also. You just notice it more in Zazen. But if you really practice thoroughly into your whole life, your ordinary life, then you can be aware of being in the moment whenever you're doing, brushing your teeth or feeding the cat or whatever.
And then it passes. And then in the next moment,
inevitably. You can't get out of it.
But you can't line them up.
You can't line them up. No.
I'm just saying.
You can't control it.
Get out of the process. Where are you?
You can't get out of the process. You're in it no matter what.
I see. So you can just see the process.
You are the process.
Yeah.
You're it. It isn't out there somewhere. It's you.
So you don't experience it as a flow. You experience, or you do experience it as a flow.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah?
Yeah. I think when I feel most aligned and centered in those things, then, you know, for example, at a regular day at work, I would say that I feel very kind of regular and engaged and attentive and not very attached to any outcomes. And so, you know, so that there's not this whole stream of, like, things going through my mind while I'm in a meeting, for example. Can you just have a regular conversation? Except it's very simple like that. But then, at the same time, sometimes when I'm just sitting by myself and I'm having these thoughts, which is kind of more, in a way, it's kind of more inspired thinking when you're just, you know, in my mind, I'm just thinking about, oh, we could do this and we could do that and all that. That, to me, sometimes can also be that, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. But not when those thoughts are kind of while I'm in that meeting and it's gone all kind of directions. But that whole process of engaging in thinking, that's also, I mean, that can also be that, right?
It can. It can. Okay. Yeah. It's a kind of matter of focus in a way.
Right.
Yeah. And yet even that messy thinking is it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It has to be.
Right.
Because
yeah,
it's all.
Yeah, a while back when we studied Four Noble Truths and we're reading the Dalai Lama, he said, you mentioned that he said, the wandering mind goes to the unhappy place.
Yes.
And I've thought about that for, like, a while, you know, and it's been kind of sinking in, and I agree with that to some extent, you know, because that's where you get attention, you, like, ponder, you get stuck, but at the same time, when you feel more inspired, to have your mind wander, it actually goes to a very inspired
absolutely
place.
Absolutely, yes.
So do you think in that statement he is just showing one side of the coin, and in that moment
he's talking about the emotional mind?
I see. Right.
You know, if you don't watch it
carefully,
it'll just go to poor me in some kind of way.
Right.
It's built into us.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Jeffrey?
Well, I have been really enjoying these metaphors that Kathagiri has provided us. The metaphors of your feet walking along the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, yes.
Simultaneously, you're swimming on the surface.
Mm.
That's a really powerful metaphor for our lives. I love this expression, your egotistic telescope.
Yes.
And when we talk about flow, I always find myself, I tell immediately where I'm in that, this large world,
because
then gets constricted, because, you know.
It's all about me.
Yeah, all about me.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying this. I feel like I'm for a long time with Uji, which is just one of my favorite mysterious passages. I'm just really enjoying what I'm getting out of this and moving through it and seeing how it's, there's something about this time in my life where so many things seem so much clearer to me, and I read something today about how when you're in this place, you're sitting with Shakyamuni and Bodhidharma and Dogen, and I was just walking down that ancestry chart with Koban. It was like,
yes,
there was something I wanted to ask you, and it dealt with something that I felt very present in a poem you wrote. It was about an intimacy that he talks about in here. He talks about an intellectual intimacy, and then another kind of intimacy. If you could speak to that in your own way, it was specific to this kind of understanding of things when we talk about understanding them intimately. I don't know if you recall the passage. It's around in the 90s, and he talked about it, and he talked about the difference about intellectual intimacy as opposed to where you feel it in your muscle and your bone.
Yes, yes.
You once wrote a poem that dealt with Koban in that way.
Oh, right.
That's where you feel him at times.
Yes, exactly.
And, it seemed, wow, I read that and I'm like, oh, that's exactly what you were trying to describe.
Yes.
In that is, you know. And I think, I for myself, as a practitioner, that's the place I want to be. In that, I wanted to absorb it in my bones, in my tendons, you know. That's how I want to live moment to moment in that place. That there isn't really any other place to live, otherwise you're
hanging it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful to bring that. That feels so alive. I mean, otherwise it's just an idea.
Yeah.
But it's very, very alive.
For me, I really feel like I'm getting so much of what he's trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps when I was younger, I don't know if I'd be But yet my practice wasn't at that place, you know. But it's just wonderful.
No,
again,
it changes.
Where it's like, you know, like a poem that for a long time you just didn't get it.
Yes.
All of a sudden the whole thing, oh, that's what she was talking about. That kind of moment.
Yeah. I think if it's real Dharma, it changes as we go back to it. And we can keep going back over and over because it keeps informing us in different ways. As you say, you can't get it maybe early on, and then you begin to get it. I think almost everything in Dharma is like that. Almost everything that we think we know is like that. You know, people too, our friends, we think we know them, and then they're not like that anymore. You know? Wow. They're flowing too. Yeah, thank you.
I did read a passage in the New York Review of Books from Marilynne Robinson, who might be somebody. You may have read it.
I did read it.
And there was a line that really struck me. She talked about poetry and eloquence and depth of thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, she was coming at it from, you know, a Western humanism point of view, that they were very much in, you know, in alignment with what we're talking about.
I think so.
We always refer to what we have tried, the pattern we have tried to understand something that, and one of the things that I've always tried to understand the time was from this quantum physics point of view, and how we talk about particles existing in multiple places at once,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that no one can understand rather than they say, if you say you understood it, it means you have no idea what you're talking
it can't
about.
It can be like that.
But it seems like when I was reading this book, the whole one seemed like this whole pixelated pieces of data points, and an unlimited number of those data points come together, and they keep creating these events and cross sections of space time, which are moments. And then it sort of seems like we're a wave. So when we talk about that flow, it's a frequency, it's a wave. It can change from moment to moment, and I felt like that was such a miracle because it is just a matter of what you choose to put together at that moment to create something completely new. So if you don't like who you are, all you do is just attune to a different frequency. And then in Zazen, it seems like there's this whole collective other side of intelligence, that when you're still like that, you tune into it. So it's sort of, I feel like it gives you a focus, which is eliminating a lot of not choosing, but you know, all of a sudden you have the best choice for that moment, and it just goes. So that's the question that you ask about how we see it.
Mm-hmm.
That is sort of how this book brought it all together.
That's very cool. Well, it feels like that. We sit in and we try to find a quiet place and not be distracted. So it's like we're devolving down to be just this one thing in our experience. even though we're still a part of everything, we don't feel it anymore. Yeah, cool. That's very interesting.
And then you said the moment you realize where you were, the moment that you're sort of has been disconnected already.
Yes, right. You're not there anymore.
Yeah.
What is this book you're reading?
This book.
Oh, this book.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I get it. It's a really good book. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's 8 o'clock. The time is telling us it's 8 o'clock, even though it doesn't feel like that. So now we're supposed to graduate to another thing. Do we have?
So, yeah, we are having a full day sit this month.
Saturday after next, isn't it?
18.
Mm-hmm.
I have it here, but I can't see it.
It's the 18th. It's the day before I go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be gone that week.
Yes.
Yeah, I can. I'm not. That's right. I'm not going to be here because I'm going to be at the women's poetry workshop. So I could give you my free the Tuesday before, and then you could open up.
That'd be nice.